Hello and welcome. Welcome to the language of energy. Over the next 9 weeks together, we're going to dive into your natal chart, your birth chart, and start to decode and re-language and upgrade your perception on energy, astrology, the elements, and your chakras. So I'm going to share the screen with you. All right, so you're going to have a copy of this presentation. It's all going to be left in the class platform for you to go through at your own pace. So what we'll be doing today is really going over a huge introduction to everything, to the space that holds everything, and then we'll be able to start breaking it down into more bite-sized pieces. And so when I say the introduction is the end of the beginning, it's similar to that Piscean energy in that what is the beginning, what is the end? It's that melting pot of it all, the void space of all of it. It's the space. And within that space, everything starts to formulate and find where it is and how it is going to birth and express itself. And so this is why we start with the end of the beginning. One of the concepts that I've always held at the foreground of my learning, my curiosity, was to really start to understand myself. So to know yourself, to really know yourself is also to really love yourself and to love yourself with all of the aspects of who you are. And for me, the biggest learning curve, still learning, still a student of astrology, was learning astrology. It gave me an opportunity to language myself in a better way, to alter my perspective of how I am or how I am in comparison to others, how I am when I engage with others, how I am as I engage with my surrounding space. And so it offered me a greater way of knowing myself, learning to accept and love myself, and to elevate my perspective of all energy engaging. And as I went through this learning of astrology, I was able to start communicating with energy in a better way, a way that worked for me. And so there is, it's not one particular way, it's that you start to find your own true voice, you find the note that resonates with you so that you can commune with energy in the way that really resonates and creates harmony within yourself. And this offers empowerment, this offers the potential to really sit in yourself with great comfort and ease. And then the connection with other things around you becomes so much more, I'm not going to say easy, but it becomes harmonic. It becomes a more simple manifestation of energy because you're now cooperating with communication. And so over these 9 weeks, we're going to be focusing on the elements. That's a big breakdown of what we'll be doing, breaking it down into earth, fire, water, and air. We're going to look at the planets, each of the planetary archetypes that play out as characters in your chart. And so they end up being these characters of these actors of the play of your life, and they are dressed in the elements. Okay, so their costume is the elements. So we really need to understand the elements first so that we understand what is the planet dressing itself up as, because that will alter its language. And we're also going to relate astrology to the chakras. Not just the chakras in a typical, the seven main chakras, but the energy that plays through your chakras, the chakras within your own body, the chakras within your entire auric field, and then how you start to engage with the chakras, the energy, the auric field of others and those around you. And so it all starts, you start to see an overlap of the languaging and how to better engage with that language. You'll also start to see that you actually already language and express and communicate with energy. Perhaps, though, putting greater consciousness on it will help you upgrade these patterns rather than holding yourself in a pattern that isn't serving you. Okay. And so when we start to hear this language of elemental quality found in everything, we start to see that we have greater connection to our emotions, our actions, our mental processes, and our ideologies. And so when we align with this, we become a greater embodied expression of energy. We are an energetic body, an energetic being, a spirit, housed, playing out in this manifested reality in a physical form, playing with our senses, engaging with other manifested forms so that energy can continue to communicate. And so through our blueprint, our birth chart, our natal chart, we start to look at this as a map so that we can decode the energy that's there and start to understand these wheels of energy, the wheels of life that are playing out always. And so they're playing out in our chakras, they're playing out in our emotions, in our mental processes. This is our energy signature. And once you know your own energy signature, there is a greater harmony. And so this is the energy that we'll be learning about over the next few weeks. A wonderful astrologer, philosopher, Dane Rudyard, said that astrology is a language. And if you understand this language, the sky speaks to you. And so, of course, you're going to be understanding your own. You must understand yourself first so that you can then start to understand your projections and your perceptions. But we will also start to be able to look at the cycles that we are always at play with. So the cycles of energy that are going on today within the lunar cycles, the solar cycles, when the sun moves through each of the zodiac signs, we get to understand the type of consciousness that is going to be playing out for us collectively. And slowly you start to see how your language will build on top of it, on top of itself, to formulate a greater understanding and engagement with your reality. It is worth noting at the very beginning to manage your expectations. This is a heavy topic, even though I'm going to be doing an introduction to astrology and to chakras and to how you can better play with your perception of it. It is still a heavy topic, but a really curious one. So keep an open mind, an open heart, and be easy on yourself and how you learn it. It takes years to really get this all into a proper working order within yourself. So let it be a playful game with understanding energy and the languaging of that. And so another founding stone of really kind of being able to look at these sort of topics would be to remember that perception is everything. And just like these little characters here, you know, they're looking at this figure of eight on the ground in front of them, and each person sees something different. And so we must remember that perception really is everything. And it comes down to how we perceive something based on how we've been trained, how we've been conditioned, culturally, familially, from our family, what has been our grounding force in formulating our perception of energy and everything around us. Okay. And so it's really important to just always bear that in mind, that perception will really play a big key in how you perceive the energy that I provide today. It's also going to be playing out in the background and subconsciousness of your perception. And then I'll add the Plato's allegory of the cave. If you haven't heard it before, I will add it to the class platform. But essentially, it's a really, really wonderful story to understand. Those that are born in the cave, stay in the cave, raised in the cave, and all they know is these shadows that are being projected onto the wall that they are chained to, and only that's all they see. That's their perception. That's what they grow up with. And these shadows are coming from this sun, this fire, this light that is providing these shadows to be projected onto the wall that they can see. And so that's all they know. One person escapes, they go out of the cave and they realize, oh my gosh, that was a fire. This is the sun. Everything's really bright. This is a totally different world. And, you know, he goes through all the various different emotions. Is this real? Am I dying? Have I died? What is going on? And his whole perception crumbles. Firstly, he faces his own inner issues, but then soon he becomes adapted to this upper realm that he's now engaging with, which has trees and animals and all the elements, water, the sky, earth. Anyway, at some point he does eventually say, oh, I must go back and tell my friends. And he goes back into the cave and he tells his friends and his family, who are still fixed on watching the projections, the shadows on the wall. And then that's all they know. And they say, you're a fool. You're mad. You've lost it. Get out of here. You're crazy. And he's like, no, seriously, there's something amazing. for us to see. You know, this isn't it. This is too limited. There's so much more. No way. They ridicule him. They throw stones at him. Get out of here. And so he leaves. He leaves because there's no place for him there. He can't turn around and get chained back to the wall. His perception has been altered. He's suddenly seen it a whole different way. He cannot go back to the other way of seeing things. Anyway, I'll share the whole story, but essentially that is teaching us that perception is always open to upgrade. It's always possible to expand our perception and to be open to something being quite different, to also be aware that not everyone is going to alter their perception, their consciousness, choose to become conscious at the same time as you. And so that is something that an astrology at birth natal chart doesn't share with us, okay? Consciousness. Your level of consciousness is not something that is configured into your chart. Your consciousness is the something that you live with. It's the spirit, it's your perception, it's your capability of how far and wide or how limited and timelined your consciousness is. Your natal chart doesn't show you that. It shows you how energy will express itself through you and how you will engage with energy, okay? And how you will project and offer out your energy. But your consciousness is down to you. It's down to something greater than you, and it's coming through you. And so we take a moment just to breathe deeply. And I recommend this as on a regular basis when you're engaging with others and when you're learning something new, to remember to inhale in a reflection of awe. So you're really just taking it in, you're becoming curious and just like, wow, isn't that interesting? That's awesome. That's new. So inhale a reflection of awe. Exhale a projection of thanks, of gratitude. And in that projection, that exhale of gratitude, you're releasing any limitation, you're releasing judgment, and you're offering up that opportunity to be like, wow, I've learned something. I've opened myself up to curiosity, and I've opened myself up to the potential of expansion, the potential of differences. And so that inhale, reflection, exhale, projection. What is it that you're reflecting on? What is it that you're projecting? Okay. And so we have almost 8 billion perspectives in this entire globe. When it comes down to all the different human experiences, we really have to get acquainted with the fact that there could be 8 billion different perspectives. There are. Every person is going to see it differently. Everyone's birth chart acts as a single lens that sees the world in its own way. Not only is it a lens, but it's also then the lens that light consciousness shines out of. So it's emanating a whole different form of light. And it's also seeing light in a whole different way. And so when we start to really sit into the comfort that knowing it's okay, our perspective, our opinions, our beliefs are going to be different. Some of them we're going to find harmonic connections. Some we're going to find opposition. Some we're going to be really challenged by. But that none of that is wrong, because at the end of the day, we understand that there are many, many, many different perspectives. And then this is layered with memory, experience, conditioning. We go into the bigger side of things, our soul memory, our consciousness that is all packed into the single lens, the projection of our light. A big part of astrology and understanding energy is maths. Not to be a mathematician, but I think along the way, you do tend to start to see that everything is related in either a numerical form, a geometric shape, form. And then the sacred geometry of energy communicating forms polarity, duality, harmony, and unity. And so when we start to really understand that through the multitude of different types of energy, they do formulate different patterns for us to observe and play with and then learn through. And then, of course, we come really into our single form, our senses, okay? And so this is how we engage as a spiritual body, a spiritual being, engaging and playing through our physical form. We have touch, taste, smell, hearing, vision, knowing. We have these senses allowing for us to engage and play with energy. But it's a huge, broad spectrum. Each person has a different way of connecting to their senses. One person could have a really heightened sense of touch, temperature, texture, how the surrounding space feels on their body. Another, yeah, it's kind of warm. One person would be like, no, I know the degree of temperature that is and what that means to me. And you'll know that if you've got sensitive hearing or if you're a sensitive person already when it comes to your, not just your extrasensory perception, but your own physical senses. If you have really, really tight hearing and it allows you to hear more than what's going on, then there are certain places that are just going to jar with your sense of perception because you cannot take in any more sound. And someone else will be going, I don't know what you're talking about. There's people talking in the background. I don't know what you mean. And they don't hear the amount that you're hearing. And so therefore your perspective of that space is like, that was so busy. Like, but it was just you and me chatting. But there was all this going on around. And so this is where we start to say, wow, we can really expand how we engage with energy through our senses, through our extrasensory capacity. And that really plays out through our chakras, through our energy body. And one thing is, everything is symbolic. Once you start to see that everything is energy playing out in a manifested form, physical form in this reality, then you're just playing with symbolism. And it's up to you how you engage with it. Fun. I certainly find it super fun to really start to break it down into just a game of playing with energy. And that's not to say that there are times it can be hard, challenging, and triggering, but it's still a game of playing with energy. Alan Watts, wonderful philosopher, great mind, that really provides another way of understanding things and helping you to accept yourself along the way. Trying to define yourself is like trying to bite your own teeth. Okay. What you are is what you are. But if you try to limit that into something, you're completely missing the point. And so even though we get to look at our natal charts and really decode so much of all that we are, know that that isn't limiting you. You hear a lot of people saying, oh, well, I'm like that because of, I'm like that because of my moon, or I'm like that because the moon is currently in, the sun is, or that person is in whatever, and they've caused me to be like that. We're limiting our capacity to engage with energy when we do that. It also helps us to language it and provide, I suppose, the game space upon which we can engage with energy. But just knowing in the background that you cannot limit yourself, you cannot define yourself into its most finite piece. You are an infinite being with infinite potential. And we get to play with various different expressions and engagements. Okay. All right, so let's start with space. There are five elements, okay? We know that the four elements, fire, earth, water, and air, but space is actually what holds it, what contains all of it, okay? And so space is what we're starting with today, or ether. A lot of people would know it as ether. Ether is energy. It is the void. So everything is energy. Everything is held in a void, in a space. Everything is conscious and unconscious. It is just energy. Okay. If it's not energy, what is it? It's void. It's nothing. It's no thing, but it's something because it's in space. And so it becomes this really loose and vast topic. It's the unseen connection to everything, and it's the all-knowing unknown. And so this is a great paradox of bliss, okay? This void space that we exist in, this intangible thing that we are, that we connect with, is not something we can grasp and ground, but it is something we can play through to engage with, to enhance our capacity to become conscious of the unconscious. And this is the cycle that we are playing in. And that's where I was saying that even though our chart cannot tell us about our consciousness, our level of consciousness, what we can do is use our charts to help us upgrade and expand our consciousness. Okay. All right. So the overview for today's class, just to give you an understanding, I'm going to break down the chart so that you understand how the chart is calculated to give you the spaces in a chart, the 12 spaces of the 12 houses. If you can recognize, I have coined that 12 spaces for my website and for my Instagram handle. And it comes from this, the 12 houses, the spaces upon which we engage with energy. And we're always learning through these 12 houses or 12 spaces. And it connects to various different arenas in our life. We're going to relate this in then to the wheels of energy, the chakras within our body, but the chakras around within our auric field and how they relate to the body, how they relate to the zodiac belt, and how they relate to the planets as well. Okay. And then at the end, I just want to show you, you will have your charts that you'll be looking at. So don't worry about looking too much at your chart right now. At the end, I will show you an example of a chart and break it down so that at least when you look at it, you have a rough understanding of what's going on. And you can always relate back to this particular slide or this whole class so that you can understand how it's divided, how it's shared. Excuse me, I have something in my eye. Okay. So we'll start with the houses or the breakdown and division of the chart, okay? There are 12 houses, 12 spaces divided onto the circle of your chart, the sphere of your chart, okay? And just so you know, you'll see it now in a moment, but the number one starts here and it works all the way around anti-clockwise into the 12 spaces of the chart, the 12 houses. The chart is really a calculation, a geometric calculation system that divides the space that we exist in with a moment in time that you were birthed or born in. And that is how the chart is divided. And there are many different house systems that we are also going to just, I'm going to touch on, just so you understand. I work with the Placidus house system. It's what my teachers taught me. It's what I'm comfortable with. And it's the one that I enjoy using. There are other house systems as well. So we can look at, well, I'm just going to mention them, but know that I work with the Placidus house system. And it's up to you how you want to look at the other house systems as well. I'm so sorry. I'm going to just have to pull this hair out of my eye. Anyway, right. So what we have here is a breakdown of the chart. And what I've done is I've divided it equally just for simplification so that you can understand the angles. Okay. The angles are the first part of the chart that we want to look at. Okay. So we'll always start with the rising sign or the ascendant. Okay. That starts at this 9 o'clock position on your chart. And what that is giving us is the exact point on the horizon at the time that you're looking at. So for example, someone is born at, let's say they're born at 7 a.m. Sun is rising. Their sun is going to be right here. Okay. And so it creates this, like, that's where the sun is. But say if they're born in the middle of the day and the sun is more up here at its highest point in the sky, well, then you still get a rising sign. Right? The rising sign is what was on the angle of the horizon upon the moment of birth, the time of birth. Okay. And so this is where we can start to see why is the chart divided as it is. The rising sign is what was on the horizon at that very moment. Okay. The MC or the midhaven is the highest point. the most culminating point at the part of the chart where it's like, that is the highest point of the ecliptic of the zodiac belt. Okay. And then the other angles are kind of the opposite of that. So with the rising, you've got the descendant, which is the setting point on the horizon. Sorry, I'm looking out to the sea. I'm like, that, there's the horizon. And then the opposing point to the midhaven, the MC, is the IC. And that is the lowest point. It's the darkest point. This is the point of night. If this is the point of high day, this is the point of night. So it's the most inner point. Okay. And so that's how the chart is divided into its angles. All right. The angles are a really important part in your chart because they are very prominent parts of who you are and how you're going to express yourself, like how you are entering the world. This is the sign this is the energy that's rising at that moment. The MC is like, this is where I'm going. This is my highest point. The setting point, this is where I'm going to learn my most, you know, because the setting point, the West, is where we really learn a lot, where we start to harvest and take energy in. It's where we project most of our energies. And so we learn from another. And then the IC is our most inner place. It comes from the depth, our most internal space, okay, the depth of ourselves. And we'll break it into the houses in a few moments so you understand that. But just to relate to some of the house systems. So what I've done here is created a whole sign system. So at the moment of rising, Aries is rising. And so therefore, I'm not calculating the exact degree. I'm just saying, oh, I know that Aries is on the horizon. But we have software to do this now. And unfortunately, I have never gone and tried to calculate it by hand. I just haven't. I've used software my whole learning experience. So software does this calculation for us. But you can get a rough idea if you know the sun is in Aries at the moment. So the sun is in Aries at the moment, midday. Oh, well, Aries is going to be up here at the MC. For the purpose of this chart, to let you know, this is a whole sign. If Aries is rising, well, then the rest of the chart is divided equally in 30 degrees. So every 30 degrees is divided by each of the zodiac signs, and that gives you the 12 spaces, the 12 houses, okay? And so it's not based on an exact degree. It's just whole signs giving you 12 spaces, okay? There are 30 degrees per zodiac, all right? So that's whole sign system. Equal house system is, say, for example, you want to take and you get the calculation of your exact rising sign. Because if you had whole sign and it was Aries rising, but your ascendant could be 20 degrees Aries. So then you'd have your ascendant, exact ascendant being pinpointed in here. Okay, I'm going to get really complicated. So I'm going to pare it back. Anyway, if we go for equal signs, it's by degree. So if you note on your own rising rising point, it will have a degree beside it. And so say, for example, it was 5 degrees Aries. Well, then it will be 5 degrees Aries equally divided into 12. So each house, each house will be divided by 5 degrees Aries. Then house two will start with 5 degrees Taurus and then 5 degrees Gemini. And it will be divided 30 degrees but starting at the ascendant point, okay? So you understand how it will be divided then by equal degree, okay? So it's one is whole sign is by the sign, equal is by the degree, the rising degree. And you have a varying bunch of quadrant calculations where they calculate the rising, they calculate the MC, and they divide it in various, you know, by six, by 12. Automatically, you would assume that rising and then 90 degrees directly above is the MC, the highest point. Yes, makes sense. But no, we know that on our globe, the tilt of our ecliptic is slightly off, 23 degrees slightly, and it varies. Okay, it varies on where you are in the world, on the planet. So that that gives a totally different reading of the MC, of the degree of the MC. Okay. And so that's why the calculation can vary and why certain astrologers get kind of particular about that. So, for example, with the equal and the whole sign, it would give it at an exact 90 degree. With Placidus, which is the one I use, Placidus calculates the rising and the MC. So do many other quadrant systems, because these are the four quarters, the quadrants. And then Placidus goes a step further and it divides into the cusps. These lighter lines are called the cusps of each house. Every 2 hours, they have marked on in the ecliptic onto the zodiac belt where it aligns. And so it will be slightly different for each cusp. And so you'll see that the charts that I've given you are done by Placidus system. And so very rarely are they going to be perfect 30 degrees laid out. You could have your MC slightly off to the side, slightly over here, and then the houses are divided again in their own specific degrees. And so Placidus is one of the most calculated geometric forms, but it ends up going into a little bit more detail so that you can get an exact reading for each house. So that's, I didn't want to get into it too much, but from the first course, that was a question that came up a lot. So I did want to recap so that you understand that's why the house is divided into its various different ways and how people read them in different ways, okay? And so now we start to get into how we divide the house. So again, for simplicity of visuals, it's just divided by equal 12 houses for now so that you can read it and learn it through that way. First house, so we've got our rising sign, which is generally the darkest angle there at the 9 o'clock position. That is always, okay? So the rising and the setting cut the chart in half like that along the horizon. And then it's the first house, because that first house will continue to rise and go throughout the entire day, okay? And then anything in the second house will then meet the horizon and rise and continue throughout the day. And so that's how we break down the chart. This is the first house to rise, the first energy to rise and be greeted and express itself. And as the energy continues to move, that's how it goes. And so you have the first house, the second house, third house, and so on. Okay, if we break it into the first six houses are the bottom part of the chart. They are the most personal houses. Okay, so these houses express the first house is yourself, your persona. We'll get into it a little bit more in the next slide, but just the bottom half is very much about you, what you have, how you're connecting this information, where you come from, how you are creative with your energy, and then how you start to put a bit of order to things, but it's all you. Okay, then we start to get into these projections of engaging with this energy. So you're taking the energy of the first house and you're starting to mirror it into another. This becomes how you pair and how you engage with another. And it goes all the way around through the 12 houses, okay? So the next slide gives us a better understanding of that, okay? So with the rising sign, you've got, this is who I am. This is my mask that I wear. The rising sign is your coping mechanisms. It's literally how you arrive on the scene. This is my persona, okay? And it's different to the sun, okay? The sun is your consciousness. And then the moon is your inner feelings, your inner light, the mirror of your consciousness, your soul. And so the rising is very much the mask you wear, the energy that kind of confronts your first experiences, your when you engage with something new, your default coping mechanisms comes from your rising sign. And then the first house is all to do with I am. This is me. This is I am. This is I've arrived. This is it's all about me. It's the me show. Okay. The second house is do what I have. Oh, suddenly I have these things. Yes, you have material things. Yes, you have financial things. But what else do you have? You have skills. You have values. You have certain things that come onto you. It's your personal resources, okay? The third house is how you start to connect. So it's kind of getting into the mind of like, how do I connect? How do I communicate? It relates to, if we think it back to a child, you're relating to your siblings and your very first early learnings, early development of connection. Okay. Then you get into your past, the IC. So like I said, the IC is your most northerly part of who you are, like deep down inside of who you are. And it's your home. It's your inner world. It's how you care, how you nurture, how you need to be. nurtured. It's where you come from, okay? And I don't just mean, yes, your family, yes, your home environment, but it's also like ancestrally where you come from. The energy spiritually that you are bringing in comes into this house, into the fourth house, okay? The fifth house is how I act. It gives off the energy, the creative force that you want to share with the world. It's like your personal exchange. It's like, this is, yes, this is me, I am, but this is how I'm going to act. This is how I'm going to create. This is the fun thing that I want to do. It's your hobbies. It's your interests. It's the things that give you great, like, energy and zest. Anyone who has children, always look to your fifth house. It will be very telling of how you engage with this fun, vital life, pure life force. The sixth house then is I serve. So like I said, the sixth house starts to be like, how do I order myself? So we're looking still at this bottom half of the chart. It's like, these are my mundane, everyday things. I need to put a bit of order to my energy, to my resources, to how I'm engaging. So it's all about putting a bit of discipline, everyday habits, connection to order, structure, diet, health. It's very Virgoan. Putting order on things, okay? And so what you will notice is what I've done is I've put the traditional zodiac sign, Aries with I am, Taurus with I have, Gemini with I connect. These are the traditional energies that link in with each of the houses, okay? They're not like exact replicas, but they give a really good understanding to the energy signature that's there, okay? The zodiac plays out the entire energetic field. The house is more to do with how that arena in your life is going to play out, okay? And so that's the bottom half of the chart of all who you are, your personal energy and how it configures. Once you have an understanding of all of your personal energy, then it's really easy to start opposing that or mirroring that into how then it will play when you start to put yourself out into the world, okay? So I am pairs with the seventh house. I pair with another. So you suddenly become awareness of self. Oh, awareness of another. It's my partner. It's my best friend. It's my business partner. Generally, this house is to do with marriage and your one-to-one relationships, okay? And it is very much about the shadow aspect of what it is that you cannot become aware of yourself. You end up projecting it into somebody else so that you can work through it that way. And that can sometimes be a really nice way of understanding your partner is really helping you to shine light on the aspects of you that are kind of hidden, but needing for you to learn from awareness of another. So you become aware of yourself by learning through another. In the eighth house, what I have and what I share with another suddenly becomes a renewed form of energy. So I have this and it's of great value to me. I share it with another and it suddenly becomes this renewed version of itself. It is, it's like an alchemical pot, the eighth house. And it has that Plutonian undercurrent of what I have can be altered and goes through a metamorphosis and changes all that it is into something else. It's also the house where we find ourselves kind of allowing a part of ourselves to slightly die. Okay, because Scorpio, the eighth house, it has a big thing of renewal. So it's like, well, something has to die in order for something else to be reborn. And so this energy of like the cycle of death and life plays out here, but it's constantly renewing, but it's also going through a cycle of death. So it's a quite a deep house, let's go with that. But it's where we get great shared resources. We really can advance all that we have through this house. It also is a house of like that sexual engagement, okay? When we engage with another, we're merging ourselves with another, their energy that they have, your energy that you have, and you rise through that. And real like sacred practices, you can really find that Kundalini connection, the tantric energy rises through that type of connection. The ninth house is I expand. So it's further development and it's very heady, okay? The philosophical mind, your sense of beliefs. So if we think then of the third house being early development, how you're kind of putting together the basic picture of things, say, for example, in school, the basics that you learn, the understanding of communicating with another, with your neighbor, engaging on that level. without taking it a step further, we go, oh, say if I expand my connection, say if I travel and learn something new, how does that alter how I perceive the world? How does that alter my belief systems, my ideologies, my philosophies? And so we're taking our mind into a higher space when we enter into that ninth house. And it plays out in this way of expanding your horizons and understanding a greater sense of all that you're connected to. Okay. You've got your MC, as I mentioned, this is your direction in life. And it marks the house, the 10th house, which is often considered the house of career or vocation, because it's the direction that you are going in. The MC is the direction that you're going in. Think of it like a bow and arrow. Poof. MC is pointing you in that direction because that is where you're learning to ascend to. And so when we look at the 10th house, I achieve. What is it that I'm doing? My reputation that I'm putting out into the world. It also is a big thing about authority. Are you the authority of your direction? Are you more comfortable with being compliant to an authority of a system? Do you put a system in place so that you can achieve something? These are all Capricorn themes. And so we're looking at how we relate to our sense of authority, our sense of achieving, and our sense of reputation of what it is that we're going to achieve and how it is that we get there. Okay. The 11th house. If I was to compare 4th house with its opposite 10th house, it's like your inner world is how you nurture. And it's like, I just need to go in and work on myself and care for myself and understand where is this all coming from. Then that allows to carry you upward into your 10th house. So you start to see how the houses work in opposition to help you formulate an understanding of your chart or of the house systems. In the 11th house, it's I aspire, it's the collective exchange. So from the 5th house, it's all about like, ooh, this is me, this is what I'm interested in, and this is how I'm going to create and express myself. The 11th house is like, well, how am I expressing myself? How does it impact those around me? A very humanitarian, collective friendship space, social space, how you're engaging with others in the collective. So yes, first and foremost, it's your friendship basis. How do you connect with your social engagements? How do you connect with the collective? The Akashic records, this deep connection to the collective exchange, how others are engaging with you and how that starts to change this aspiration of your sense of expression. And it has a very Aquarian-like energy in that it is trying to connect to humanity, to make a change. It needs you to make a change. It can also come in as a bit of like, poof, that's different. I need to respond. I need to become a creative force to adapt with that, okay? And then the 12th house is I realize, okay? And so you realize this is the end. Okay, this is the end of your chart. This is the final energy that will rise. So it's this final point of like, oh, wow, I've realized something. I've become conscious of something. It's also the house where things are hidden. I'm unconscious of something. I need to work on making it conscious. It is your spiritual service. And so if we think of it, I serve, I put order, I am responsible, and I have tasks that I have to tend to in the 6th house. This is your everyday, what you're doing every day. Well, then the 12th house it can be what you do every day, but it's what it is that you're doing for what reason? Because you're trying to expand and serve your consciousness to remember and become conscious of itself. And so it's this big melting pot of your psyche, of your subconsciousness, of the one spirit, okay? Another way of looking at the 12th house is, this is the energy that you were in. This is the cocoon space you were in when you were in your mother's womb. Okay. So that's why it's funny. We start with the end of the beginning. Yeah. And that's why I'm so related to the 12th house. This is the end of the beginning. It's like the womb space upon which we are in first. And it's this pool of every little bit of energy, this ocean of everything. And then we're born and we start to express ourselves through these various different themes and scenes along our life. But we eventually have to get back to that point of saying, oh, I realize why and what I am here. I now know a greater bit about myself. I am learning to love myself more. There is a sense of realization and realization of the self so that it can be merged into this big ocean of spiritual service connecting to what it is that you're here to do as an expression of energy, what it is that when you were conceived, the energy upon which your signature was going through, was learning, was saying, this is the energy we're pulling in. And obviously, I love to talk about the 12th house, so I will add a little bit else here. This is also the house that it is your deep subconsciousness. So a lot of things, if you have planets in here, a lot of the time it's something that you just are ignoring. You're keeping the skeletons in the closet. You're keeping things under the rug, either because you don't know it's there. It's deep in your psyche, deep buried in your psyche. It's hidden. It's a hidden house. Or it's that you don't want to face the overwhelming amount of all that you are. And so when you start with I am, you're unpackaging the one, and you work through this whole scene. Every single, it doesn't matter if you've planets in or not in any of these houses, you have all of these energies in your signature. And so you are an energy. This is the type of energy that you're going to express when you greet somebody. You have values, you have skills. You have a formulating mind that connects and communicates and chats and understands and perceives. You have a deep inner space that you are rooted to, an ancestral past, a conditioning, a home space that you tend to. You have an expressive energy that wants to have fun, that wants to express itself, that wants to play, that wants to create. You have an energy that then puts a bit of order onto things. You have an energy that has to be responsible and mundane service, tending to this life. You have the descendant. Everyone has it. Everyone has a descendant. The descendant point is like, oh, this is my deep learning. I'm learning through projection. You have energy where you connect with another. One other where you're like, oh, I'm doing a lot of projection. I'm understanding how I merge with another and how I pair. And I suddenly become aware of another and myself. There's a dance going on here. You have energy that you share. You go through times in your life where you share energy and you share your values. You share this very, very sacred energy that you have, or you share money. Let's go really simple. You share money and you put it in, you invest it in something, and it gives you something in return. You go through that. You will go through that at some point in your life. Okay. So every house you go through, you have this energy. So we're going to then start reading the zodiac and the planets that are in each of these houses so that you understand, that's how I expand. That's why my beliefs, that's why my philosophies are the way they are. If you have an Aquarius ninth house, I really think differently. Or you have Uranus in your ninth house. Yeah, how I think is slightly unusual, unorthodox. Or boom, I have a new idea and it's brought me on a big new journey. Okay. And that's very Aquarian. It's like the lightning bolt comes in, the Uranus quality comes in. It's like, oh, we need to go. We need to expand the mind. And you follow a very direct train of thought, but it's different, right? It's something that perhaps isn't so traditional. If it was a very Capricorn or earthy type of energy, it's like, oh, well, I follow the tradition beliefs. I'm grounded in those beliefs. I feel very steady, stable, connected. And so we will start to language how each of the houses play out with the energy that you have. Okay. So I thought I would also add in the planetary rulership. I always like to design my charts with the rulerships on the outside. So not to confuse you when you're looking at your chart, you've got Aries, which is this little symbol here. Okay. Aries is cardinal fire, which we'll break down next week, and is ruled by Mars, okay? So again, we're just going by traditional. They have a similar energetic pattern, but they are not the same, okay? But they have a similar energetic pattern, all right? And so the first house, I am, Aries is the first zodiac sign. We've just gone through spring equinox, so that is the first energy to rise at the light half of the year, okay? And so it's very much the spirit, the light, I am. Mars has a similar quality in that it's this this active force that is seeking to evolve, the active force that is there to shine and take action upon its spirit, okay? And so you can you will be able to see towards the end of this course how the planets, the zodiacs, and the houses are different, but why they have been aligned in rulership. You can start to see why the rulership plays out as it's almost like an extra lens is layered on top of that to add a better color quality to it, okay? And so then Taurus into the second house is ruled by Venus. Gemini is ruled by Mercury. Communication, that like neutral, very neutral theme. Venus is very much to do with your value systems and your love and your exchange of your desires, but your desires from a very spiritual heart space of what you have and what your spirit is here to connect with. Cancer, ruled by the moon, very emotional, that nurturing, that home space. You can start to see how the house can relate to this energy. Leo is ruled by the sun in the fifth house. So again, this rulership layering of energy is this creative force that just wants to express and share and be playful and be bright and be seen. Virgo has that order quality to it and is ruled by Mercury. So it's very dexterous, very skilled, the capacity to see things a little bit more clearly and put structure to things. And I want to make a note, your sixth house might have a totally different sign, okay? Because that is based on the time that you were born in. So this is just a traditional rulership that gives you an idea of the energy at play, okay? Virgo is ruled by Venus. Scorpio is ruled by Pluto, also ruled by traditionally by Mars before Pluto was discovered. So again, it has a very dynamic, passionate energy in underneath the water, the currents of it. Sagittarius is ruled by Jupiter. Capricorn is ruled by Saturn. Uranus is ruled by traditionally Saturn before, Aquarius is ruled by Uranus. Aquarius is ruled by Saturn traditionally before Uranus was recognized. And then it now is the modern ruler would be Uranus. And so that's where they have their alignment. And then Pisces is ruled by traditionally Jupiter, but also by modern rulership of Neptune. And so we start to just see an overlap of the energy. It helps add depth to your languaging, but not to limit you into these things, okay? Like I said, this first class is big, but it's giving you a really big overview of everything. And then we will decode each of the zodiac signs, each of the planets, and it will start to make sense. And then this is just a brief overview of the planets. We don't get into the planets until a few more lectures, but I wanted you just to have this as a rough underlying understanding of how the planets are divided out. You have got the lights, which is your sun and your moon, and we'll add the ascendant as well into that lecture. Personal planets, Mercury, Venus, Mars. So again, communication, values, and drives. It's just a one word to give you a rough idea, but of course we will flesh all of these out so you have greater languaging and expression tools to use with these energies. You've got the angles. So again, the ascendant is your presence. The midheaven is your outward direction. Descendant is your projection, what you project onto another. And then the IC is your inward direction. Jupiter and Saturn are the social planets. And then expansion and wisdom or limitation. Saturn is one that teaches you through hardship, teaches you through challenges, teaches you through limitation. And so it's to alter your perception of that, because a lot of people can get quite hung up on Saturn, like, oh, it's so horrible, it's so heavy. And it's like, yes, but also if you didn't have that, you wouldn't achieve it. So it's, yes, limitation is not fun, especially if you have a very Jupiterian-like energy, like, boom, let's just expand and go there. And it's like, oh no, we must slow it down and put a bit of order and let's get there when we learn this and then we can build on that. And so Saturn and Jupiter play against each other in this like expansion and contraction. Funny how we're almost at 2 years ago when they had their conjunction with Pluto as well. That's where we saw this like the Saturn, Jupiter, Pluto conjunction, where it's like, ooh, everything is like wanting to expand, but it has to contract. And this is where we see total destruction of our systems and our belief system. And so we're in the process of reconfiguring and redreaming this space. So I'll get into that a little bit more as the weeks go by. But yeah, a transpersonal planets, then Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. Uranus to do with own awakening. These are really like beyond the personal realm of things. And so Saturn kind of caps in. I'll get more into this when we go into the planets, but Saturn is the furthest planet that we can see with the naked eye. So understand that that caps our sense of reality. The other planets, then, they are beyond the realm of physical perception, yet they are there. So they do offer us an energy that is beyond personal. And so this is, and they also are really slow moving. So they create like generational cycles. Okay. So a lot of people will have a Scorpio Pluto if they're born in around the 80s and so on. So that Pluto moves quite slowly as do each of the transpersonal planets. We've got the asteroids and the celestial bodies. I'm not going to be going into these in this introduction 9-week course. I do have a Chiron class coming up that you can check out from my school, and that will dive into Chiron in itself. It's a really wonderful energy to learn about and to place within your chart. So you can check that out. I can leave a link there to join that class. And Ceres then is more about your sanctified sustenance. It's a very earthy energy. And then you've got the nodes. Again, I'm not covering the nodes in this course. They are quite in depth because you're looking at soul purpose, dharma, karma, past life, future life, the baggage that we carry in this life. So I'm just not going to go into that in 9 weeks. All right. So then we move on into the chakras. All right. So I have been working with the chakras from a very young age. It was something that really helped me to understand energy. I saw energy. I'm very kind of clairvoyant through closed eye clairvoyance. Yes, through some training, I've learned to see with eyes open, but predominantly energy communicates with me through closed eye visions, through my third eye, through my brow chakra. And how I saw energy flowing through bodies was really relatable when I was taught about the chakras. It made sense. I suddenly was just like, oh, that's why that energy is moving like that, or that's why, you know. And so these wheels of energy we have throughout the entire body are like, if you saw yourself as just an energetic body, not a physical body, this is intangible, of course, but to those that are sensitive, maybe you feel it, maybe you see it, or maybe you've learned about it and you have now a knowing, you have this understanding of it. These wheels of energy exist within our system, and then they play out constantly. They're feeding from your spirit, from your outside influences, planetary cycles, earth vibrations. They're constantly engaging with your system. And then those that are on the spinal system are engaging with your endocrine system, your organs, your physical limbs, your body, your physical body. And they all start to filter out vital life force energy into your system. Okay, and so they become these energy communication hubs. And so even though one chakra, the solar plexus chakra, can relate to your confidence and your outward expression and this like solar expansion of like, boom, boom, this is my confidence. This is how I engage socially. This is me. This is my powerhouse. Yes, it can also, though, have overlaps of many other energies. And this is something that I've just come to connect with, is that there are many things that play out in the chakras. How we will play, the next slide helps this, how we will play with the chakras is offering you a loose overlap of zodiac signs and planetary bodies to color the energy that can feed into each of the chakras, but know that it is not limited to that. As you can tell, I don't like limitation. I don't like too much labeling into a box and then leaving it as that. There is always room to grow. When you see my chart, you will understand where that comes from. And so let's look into the seven spinal chakras. I think a lot of people will be familiar with that. So you've got your base chakra, Muladhara. So if you're from a yoga background or just more Western approach of connecting to the energy centers, base chakras at the base of your body. And it really connects to instinct, survival, the sense of safety and grounding in your physical form. Okay, so it's very much like your heavy presence, your earthy, grounded sense. Your sacral chakra then is starting to get into a little bit more of a fluid space of creativity, of sexuality, of hormones, of creation. You know, with women, it's the womb space. It's this vessel of water that offers life. The water of life is the sacral chakra, but it's also where your passions come from and how you take action upon those passions that you have and bring them out into the world. It's a very emotional center as well. The solar plexus chakra is this yellow one here. I've color coordinated them, but and it's always just nice to have color to align with it. But of course, the colors can alter as well. But solar yellow, this radiant center, is again, like I said, in the example, to do with your social connection, your confidence, your powerhouse of expression of this outward sense of energy, rather than the sacral chakra being a little bit more your internal nurturing, your emotions, your inner passions. That's how they play in duality there. The heart chakra then is at the center of your chest, obviously connecting to the heart, connecting to compassion, healing, health. It's the very center of your vitality. If you understand, and if you've been to my meditations through ceremony and other things, you know that I connect. Your heart center is your center. And then you connect to the heart of earth, consciousness of earth, and you connect to the heart of spirit, of origin point. And then you've got these three hearts that are constantly connected. So that is your heart center is like your portal to you being a spiritual and manifested physical being. So your heart center really feeds into many things. It is also overlapped with the heart gateway. Okay, so that's more of these star points and gateway points, which is again, altering away from just the physical organ, the thymus, away from it just being a physical thing, but adding that expanse, the heart gateway adds that expanse of all that you are. The throat chakra and the ear chakras are one of the minor ones. It's obviously to do with communication, expression, truth, authenticity. Ears is to do with perception, hearing, your capacity to hear or listen to what's going on. Your brow chakra, your third eye, that relates also with the eyes, your physical eyes, your pineal gland, the light that is received into you. Then you've got, I also add your mind gateway is very similar to the heart gateway. It's like an all-encompassing chakra that like is housed in this upper area of perception, and it connects in with the temples, these like gateways that like act as the temples of energy that comes into you. So if you were ever to try to channel or to calm yourself down, just simply connecting to these chakra points here allows you to just refine the energy that's coming in. It also relates to the causal chakra. So think of it like an antenna coming out from the back of the head. It's the chakra around here. The causal chakra again is connecting to an outside energy that comes in again like a channeling, okay? And that is all held in the mind gateway chakra. It's like this big portal here. You've got your heart gateway chakra at the center. You've got your navel gateway at the in between the solar plexus and the sacral chakra, and that's very much to do with the creative force that's coming through you. The sea of energy that you're connected to. And of course you've got a Gaia gateway, which connects you to not just Gaia's consciousness, but the earth frequencies. Like I said, we've got energy coming up through our earth, like earth consciousness is constantly emanating its own energy frequency and you are perceiving that. Where was I? Then you've got your crown chakra. So that's again, one of the traditional seven spinal chakras. The crown chakra is at the top of your head, connected to the pituitary gland as well. And so that gives a great regulation and overview of the entire physical alignment of energy that runs through you. And this crown chakra is also that opening point that connects you to the stream of energy that is flowing through from spirit, from one consciousness, from somewhere higher than you.
So then I'll just stick with this one here, the minor chakras. Then you've got your feet, your hands, your knees, like I mentioned, your temples, your eyes, your ears, and the causal chakras. So they're minor chakras. You have chakras all over your body, right? As in you have energy portals where energy crosses over and creates suddenly this vortex of extra energy. That's essentially what a chakra is. It's like a vortex where lots of energy pools together and creates an exchange point, a point of communication of energy. And then these star points and gateways are, like I said, they're outside of the physical body. Some are aligned with the physical body, but they add an additional connection to energy and how energy feeds through these portals. Okay, so like I said, we've got the soul star up here and the earth star here. They really connect to your purpose, your dharma, your karma. They also align, I think the next one has, I'll go to it in a second. They align with certain planetary nodes as well that can help you to understand how that plays out for you. We've got stellar gateway. So that's like your big plug into the heart of consciousness itself. And then the Gaia gateway is your plug into the Gaia consciousness, your manifested version now. And I think I mentioned the others, the navel gateway, heart gateway, and mind gateway. So if you have other questions to get specific about what they are, certainly ask them to me. But as we go about layering them, you start to understand how energy plays out through these portals. These are communication points of energy. So this is a really great graphic that I found that I think is one that helps us to just go back and say, oh, right, that zodiac sign relates to Aries, relates to the head, the eyes, the muscular system. And so I've added that in there. I think it's just a really good one. So again, each of the zodiac signs rules a part of the body. And so this is always a fun thing to look at. So when you find where certain zodiac signs land in your chart, you start to say, oh, that's why my throat, like I'm a Taurus and I can have throat chakra issues, neck issues, because of a certain signature that's in my chart. I know that that's also a big play on why it's playing out through the throat, through the form of expression, through the neck, that's how it plays out. I've been able to kind of decode my own energy by looking at it this way. But it's also really nice then to see how these different zodiac signs play out in the body, what they relate to. It adds further languaging to the type of energy that they are. Okay, so with Gemini, you've got the arms, the hands, the shoulders, the lungs, and the nervous system. So a simple way of understanding that is like Gemini is very dexterous. So they have two hands, left and right, the twins, the jewel capacity to be able to reach for both, to see both sides of the fence. It also is the communication system of the nervous system. So this constant sense of communication of left and right, of up and down, Gemini has that capacity to offer that type of energy. And so that's where you will see, oh, the Gemini energy. If you breathe and balance the lungs, the Gemini energy starts to settle. If you have someone who fidgets a lot, check their Gemini energy and just be like, okay, hold your hands for a few moments. Take a few deep breaths. Allow it to settle. Allow that energy to settle. The higher version of Gemini is that channel of energy. The nervous system's greatest possibility is to be this channel from the center, the brain, through the heart, through the organs, connecting this pool of information that is engaging with the body. And so the highest vibration of each of these signs needs to be brought into its greatest equilibrium so that it finds its greatest expression, rather than being the lower vibration of Gemini is like flighty and scatty and confused because it sees too much and doesn't know how to find its balance of just being a neutral channel. So we'll play out in each of those zodiac signs so that you really get an understanding of how to upgrade your perception of each of the signs. I know a lot of people will say, certain hard things on certain certain zodiacs, certain signs. Oh yeah, that person is Aries. Oh, they can get angry. Or oh, that person is Capricorn. They're very hard and stern. They are one way of languaging that type of energy. But the more you start to decode an entire chart, you realize that the zodiac signs, they're there. And yes, a particular vibration of that energy can play out and play out in a part of the body, but that there is a potential to upgrade it when you understand the system and when you can allow yourself to alter the languaging and offer a projection and offer an understanding so that the energy communicates in a better way. Okay, almost there. So again, this is where we align chakras and planets together. And you can see from this, the wording here, what I've done is tried to kind of line it up a little bit. So the stellar gateway connects in with the sun, of course, because it's your stream of consciousness. It's your light. But it also connects to other planets as well, like Uranus, Pluto, or Neptune, these outer planets that offer you another form of energy, particularly if you had one of those planets on an angle or with your sun, then it's going to be an added value that you get, like this higher consciousness through those planets. Let's go down through it. So you can read these as well, and you'll start to understand when we go into the planets, when you relate it back to each of the chakras. Obviously, the throat chakra and the ears is a big thing to do with Mercury, because it's about communication, perception, and understanding. Okay. And then you can start to see, I've got some, you know, solar plexus. Yes, the sun, your sun, your form of great expression. But it also plays in with Jupiter and Mars, two of our big yang archetypes play out through the solar plexus chakra as well. So depending on your own chart, your complexities or harmony with those planets have a big role to play in your solar plexus chakra. What else? Base chakra, Saturn and Mars, because it's your primal force of protecting. Mars is primal force protecting your sacred energy. Saturn is about forming structures, creating a safe limitation for your body to exist, tending to responsibilities. And so we'll start to be able to flesh out the languaging so that you can apply it to your own energetic well-being. But like I said, these are theories. These are things that I've played with that have allowed me to enhance my languaging. By starting to see, connecting the dots. That's a big thing for me as the Gemini rising and Gemini moon. I'm just like, connect all the dots. Now, how do we express this? And so these are just offering you theories, offering you ways that might work for you as well. And so you learn, open heart, open mind, be curious, be there to say, oh, wow, that's interesting. Does it work for you? Maybe, maybe not. But it's a form, it's a theory, and then we put it into practice as we go through, okay? But there's some of the ways that you can do it. Each person, though, when I go to do an individual chart reading, I don't necessarily just align back to these. It comes down to then the individual's chart and how it's playing out. So it is unique. All right, so let's finish up with understanding that this is your chart. Okay, this is the chart of this course. Okay, I just took this as a snapshot of time when I started this course last year in 2021. And so this was the initiation of this course. And it captures the exact birth moment of the energy that we're playing with. Because if you think about it, you are an energy that is being played out. Okay, so whether it's a human being, whether it's a business, whether it's an event, a war, an experience in the world, everything has a birth chart. A country has a birth chart. You know, America just had their Pluto return. And you look at their American chart, which was based on the birth time of the Decree of Independence. Okay. And so everything has a birth chart. This birth chart, just let's use it as the key that you can understand your own chart with. So your chart should look something like this, the one that I've emailed you and the one that you're using for this course, okay? So again, we've got our rising sign at the 9 o'clock position. Then we've got each of the houses, 1, 2, 3, working the whole way around to the 12 houses. You can see that this is done in the Placidus system. So it's written up here, Placidus house system. And you can see that rising and the MC are not at an exact 90 degrees. Okay. And then each of the houses are divided accordingly. That is the calculation system I've used, well, the computer system that I use to calculate this chart. Okay, let me just check. I think the next chart, the next slide. Yeah, this slide just breaks it down so that we can see it visually. You've got your rising sign. You've got the degree lines. So see all these little lines here? They are 30 degrees of each sign. So Taurus here is our Taurus rising. And it's broken down into 1, 2, 3. You can see a slightly larger line, 10, all the way to 20, and then to 30. There are 30 degrees in each zodiac sign. That's how it's divided up, okay? So that we get an archetype of the energy in 30 degrees, okay? So there are the degree lines. But if you go into each planet, the planet will give you a degree, an exact degree, so you don't have to like use your eyes and look at it. So the planets are given with their degree signs so that you can at a glance have the degree that you need. And it's degree with the little degree sign, and then it's minutes. Okay, that's when astrologers get really particular with timing, and then the minutes make a big difference into the communication that goes on in a chart. And so the light gray lines are the cusps. They are the division of the houses. And so you will have the angle lines are slightly thicker, and then the cusps are the gray ones divide all the other houses as well, okay? Like I said, the angles are the key scenes. So if we divide this entire chart into a play, all right, this is your movie. This is your life. It's a movie. It's a play. Each of the houses divided by their cusp lines are a scene. They're a scene upon which you will play out in your life. You will exist in each of these scenes, maybe all in one day, but you get what I'm saying. It's not that you go through it day by day, year by year. This is your play of energy, always engaging. And they are the key scenes, the angles. They offer you very key, prominent points of your own energy. Obviously the number gives you the house or the scene, the arena of energy that's playing out. Then you've got the zodiac sign, as I've said before. So Pisces for this one here is mutable water, and we'll start learning the elements and the modes next week. So Pisces is offered there. Like I said, you've then got Sagittarius, and then its ruler is done on the outside. So do not confuse the sign ruler with your personal planet Jupiter. Your personal planet Jupiter is inside the circle here at 22 degrees Aquarius, this one, okay? And so you could ignore the planets that are on the outside there. They are just there to offer you rulership. And the reason why I add that is because when I want you to calculate your rising sign ruler, so for example, this rising is Taurus, its ruler is Venus. And so I want you to look at your Venus if you're a Taurus rising, because that plays a very prominent energy signature for your chart, okay? And then you've got obviously all the little actors, the characters, which are the planets and celestial bodies that play out in this movie, this entire scene of your life. They're acting out dressed up in a zodiac, dressed up in an element and a mode. So their costume as a character is, for example, this moon is going to be acting out the soul consciousness, the memories, the emotions, and it's dressed up in a Scorpio outfit. It's playing out this Scorpio outfit, and then it's acting inside the sixth house, okay? And so the moon, this emotions, the memories, the softness, the inner world, dressed in a very Scorpio way. It's very fluid, it's very deep, it can be very penetrating and intense, and it's playing out when it comes down to the very regimented day-to-day things, how it puts structure together. So emotionally, this particular energy is going to be really demanding attention on a habitual daily basis. Okay. And so this is where we'll start to engage with putting and formulating the language of each planet, each element, and each house, and then applying that to the chakras. Okay. Just to go into the expanse of the chart here, obviously I've kind of whited it out. Let me go back. You've got, this is the dialogue. So see in the center here, I don't cover this in this course, okay? It gets really complicated when we start to go into the dialogue of the energy, but I will touch on it so that you have an understanding, but don't get confused by it, okay? The dialogue is the script of the movie that the characters are playing out with other characters, other planets, okay? And so that just gives you an understanding of the maths, the degree that they are placed in. For example, the square, the rising, and Saturn are in square to each other. A square is an exact 90 degree angle. Okay, so I will touch on these later, but just that's the dialogue. That's the script, okay? This is also the script. This is for an astrologer. It gives you a really quick thing. It's like, oh yeah, look, the sun and Mars are conjunct. They're right there and they're 0 degree. All right, and that's where we get into the real fine detail of the maths and geometry of the chart, which we're not doing in this course. But know that that is just helping to describe the types of script, the types of conversations these planetary archetypes are having in your energy signature. Then we've got the breakdown of the quadrants. So where you have a heavier influence. So this one has nine on one side and six on the other. And it's divided into each of the angles. So between the IC and the MC, you've got nine types of energy on that side. And each planet carries a stronger or a significant type of energy signature. So obviously the sun and the moon are going to carry let's just, for example, say 3 points each. So that's why they carry a lot of extra energy on that side and so on. So it just gives you a breakdown quadrantly what or where your energy plays out. Obviously, then you've got the breakdown of the elements and the breakdown of the modes. And so it's just calculating the type of energy elemental quality that you have in your chart. And it just gives it to you in a different visual. These are your tightest aspects. So again, the most prominent form of communication that's going on in your chart. And these will be a significant thing for an astrologer to read so that they can assist you in what it is that you're working through. This obviously is just a key. So it tells you Aries is this little symbol. It tells you the moon is this little symbol. It's called a glyph. It says the moon is in the sign Scorpio and it's in the house six. Okay. And so it's just a key. It just a different way of reading. If someone finds it really difficult to read it in a spherical layout, then these are other ways of reading the chart. Okay. So that is the space that we're playing with, kind of in a nutshell, and how it works out, how it is played out. And every week we're going to be going back to these charts to look at that and start to really flesh out the languaging behind each of these. So don't get overly confused. This is just painting a very broad canvas. And now we're going to go into fine details of each of it each week. But everything is connected. So we look at it from the end of the beginning. We look at everything. And so it does seem a little bit overwhelming, but don't worry, it is going to be all simplified and giving you that opportunity to go through everything, to understand how everything is connected and that your perception is paramount. So at this moment in time, just be open to perceiving how this language is played out. If you've ever learned music and learned to read music, it just takes a moment to reconfigure your ability to read notes and then to not just read them, but then apply them and then play them or sing them. So the same comes, it's a language, okay? Astrology is a totally new language and it connects so many things together, but you need to learn the building blocks. You need to learn the alphabet first. And that's where we're just learning to set the stage and flesh it out that way. So what we covered was the space that we are playing with, the houses, the very basic overview of the houses, which we will always go back into, the chakras, an understanding of the energy that you play with and how these vortexes of energy are constantly engaging with so many things around you. And then the time space itself. Time, the time you were born, created this snapshot for your birth chart. Not only that, but you are now playing and engaging with time going on at the moment. The sun that's in the sky at this moment in time is engaging and making a communication with your own chart. And this is where we start to play with the cycles of energy that are constantly ongoing. And so your homework or your learning through this first class is just to let this wash over you, to color and play with your mind for a little bit. Witness how you engage with energy. Just become aware of space, not necessarily elemental as in like each of the four elements, but just how you engage with space, how you occupy a room, how somebody else enters into a room and occupies that space, how they engage with it. Start to use your senses, all of your senses. Just notice one sense happens to be stronger than the other. Become aware of how you use language. Simply, like when you look and start the day, what is the way you language your very first impression? Again, this is telling for your ascendant. Your experiences and memories, they're all compiled into this library inside of you. And that forms this knowledge bank, which encompasses your entire space that you orbit within and the space that you are engaging with. So that's your homework. Open your perception, open those eyes and start to look around to all the ways that you engage and exchange with space. Okay. And next week we'll start into the elements. So we'll really start to break it down into each of the element qualities, and it will start to help you like break it down into different things. Some of you are going to be very earthy and need to be very practical. Some of you are going to be super watery and kind of get this looser pool that you're swimming in. Some are going to be very fiery. So the sense of vision and creation and writing and drawing is going to really help you comprehend this. And air. Air, well, if you're air like me, you've already started to take on qualities through the mind and through conversation. So we will start to break it down into each of the elements next week. So I'll see you on the Q&A call, and look forward to hearing and answering and clearing up any of your questions through the Q&A. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy reading and musing through the lecture as we go before the Q&A this week. Thank you so much.